Okay, everybody, so we're getting a brand new sugi. It's a fairly short sugi. We'll see if we can try to finish it off today. Famous last words. Unless we decide to use this as a springboard to... Okay, by a sec. Comes the Gemara is trying to pinpoint precisely when one is supposed to recite a bracha on tefillah. Now remember, a little bit of a throwback to last week. We are governed by the rules of Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchim Ovel HaSiyah. However, you can say that.
I have my
daughter. Okay. On the other hand, one shouldn't take the attitude, well, I'm going to be yotzei the din of Kol HaMitzvos Mevarchim Ovel HaSiyah. I'm going to really jump the gun on it. I'm going to make the bracha by telling him, well, I'm still in bed. That way, for sure, I'll be L'chol HaDeyes Ovel HaSiyah. We showed him a quick point that actually from our sugya, that is not appropriate. That one is not supposed to recite a bracha too early in the game. That's what we call, I don't know what that official phrase is. Oh yeah, we showed him made up that phrase. The Gemara never has it. We showed him made up that phrase. It's a cute phrase. If you make the bracha too early, that's no good. That's what we showed him point out, that if you unzip in your film bag and you take it and throw it out, that's maybe a little bit too early. That's the over the over. Anybody know, just by the way, just as an aside, because of that cloud of over the over, that you shouldn't make a bracha too early, that mamish caused havoc about a certain mitzvah. There's one mitzvah, one of the mitzvah in the Torah, that because the din is you can't make the bracha over the over, and because the din is you have to make it over the over, that we scratch our head and try to figure out when to make this bracha.
Esther?
Ruben Esther. You don't know why? What is the unique relevant Esther? Because it's the only mitzvah that the picking it up is the mitzvah itself. Bite sits, it's no big deal. I can't make the bracha by talus when my talus is still in the bag. But if I'm holding it in my hand, that's the perfect time to recite the bracha. I can't make the bracha on the tefillah when it's in the bag. I can't make the bracha on the matzah when the matzah is still inside the box. So all other mitzvahs... all other mitzvahs, the holding of the cheftel shel mitzvah in my hand doesn't pose a challenge for all the other. Lulav is the only one. So that's why the Rishonim searching, scrambling for eitzes, how to solve this problem. That's not a sugya right there. But when it comes to tefillin, it's fairly simple. You can't make the bracha too early, and you really shouldn't make the bracha too late. It happens to be that tefillin is one of those mitzvahs, that if you goofed and you made the bracha a little bit too late, it's not so terrible. Not because there was a ruah from last week that all mitzvahs is not so terrible. It's something unique about tefillin. Actually, tefillin is one of those three famous mitzvahs. What? It's a mitzvah hanimshech, as it's called. It's a mitzvah, it's an ongoing mitzvah. Unlike matzah, once you swallow the matzah, it goes down, you're done, you're finished. Once you come out of the mikvah, the game's over. Mikvah's probably a bad example. Probably the worst example I could give for this discussion. But tefillin is one of those three mitzvahs that the Rambam singles out of his brachas. The mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah of
mezuzah.
What?
Mezuzah.
It's interesting, the Rambam doesn't mention mezuzah. Mezuzah is probably not a bad idea. But what's the third one? Rambam mentions sukkah. Rambam says tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah are the three mitzvahs in his brachas that are called the mitzvahs hanimshachos. And therefore, if for whatever reason you didn't make a bracha before you put tzitzis on, like for example, who had the shiloh yesterday? Everybody, okay? A lot of people put on the tzitzis in the morning, and the meaning is that this rabbi didn't make a bracha in the morning of the tzitzis, so they made a bracha in the afternoon. It's called the mitzvah mshachetz. Tzitzis, tzol, the sukkah, the three mitzvahs, that the din of avodas yosef is not the end of the world. Can anyone just have any idea, any thought as to why these three mitzvahs are different?
Real or not.
Is there anything other that we know unique about these three mitzvahs? Just to throw back to last week. What is unique? Manishtad of these three mitzvahs? They're partially passive. They start out active, then they kind of end up passive. You're right. There's something about these three mitzvahs, almost like the wheels start to turn.
They're all like a schira.
More than just a schira.
The three Laman mitzvahs,
the Bach. Who told you about that? Three Laman
mitzvahs. Bach, I think.
Very good. Which learned it?
My Rebbe Bispasha.
Wait, who's Rebbe Bispasha?
Rabbi Wolf.
Where's your
Rebbe? DRS.
DRS, okay, very good. Okay, so the three Laman mitzvahs, the Bach, and the Chiddush. The Bach says that there are three places in the Torah that the Torah gives you a drush, gives you a sermon. Most of the time the Torah is the Sefer HaLacha, so he tells you what to do and not to do. Three places the Torah opens up by telling you a whole Shtibot Torah, what you're supposed to think about when you do Tzitzis, Tzitzfilin, and Sukkah, what your mindset should be. So he asks the Bach, what does the Torah single out this tradition? And the answer is, these are two minutes the Torah says, Lama'an. The Torah itself singles out these mitzvahs. These are the mitzvahs that you do in order to reach a certain point. L'man tizkru. L'man tiyatashuk. L'man indirsev. The Torah itself highlights these mitzvahs as mitzvahs that you do to reach a certain mindset. Therefore, the Torah understood that the mindset is critical. Mishimura quotes from a previous God of Sama Achimed Yevet, but it's still critical. Mina Torah, you have to think about this, if that's the case. These are the three special mitzvahs that the Maisa mitzvah is almost like a hesitancy to reach a certain mindset. It's very understandable why these two mitzvahs are mitzvahs ha nimshachas. Because the more I'm wearing them, the longer I'm wearing them, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So maybe there's some, it's not just the coincidental, and these are the three mitzvahs ha nimshachas that the Rambam singles out, and these are the three mafshachas that set the Torah singles out. Maybe there's a connection between those two statements.
What about
Shulchan and Kibbutz? Those mitzvahs are different. If you do this, you will receive the following side. The mod of the three mitzvahs the Bach spoke about are things that you have to do. So the mitzvahs you have, we don't do that. The Baruch hopefully gives that to you. The mod is what you have to do. Very good, excellent. But so just before we get back to that, so again, anyone know one possible fourth mitzvah? What?
Yes.
I can't. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are mitzvahs in Mishra. I'm saying mitzvah you make a bracha on. So there's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam writes, Nila is not a bad one. You make some lady territory, okay? Maybe another place. There's a fascinating Rambam. There's a fascinating Rambam. The Rambam writes that if a person is Makadish and Nisha, he gave her a ring, he said, oh my goodness, I forgot to make the bracha under the chuppah. What the Rambam says? The Rambam says you can't do it. Close. The Rambam says you can't do it. It's a bracha batala. Is the Rambam l'shitasoi? Because the Rambam holds it up as brachas, called mitzvah bracha l'asasim, and even he's a medievah. Obviously, who would disagree with this Rambam? The Arzarua. Who else, by the way, do you know would disagree with this Rambam? Which other great Rishon would say it's okay, you can make the bracha afterwards also?
The rush
happens to hold that the bracha under the chuppah happens not even to be a birchas hamitzvah, it's a birchas hashevach, it's on the institution of marriage. But could one suggest as follows? Could one argue that the bracha getting married is a birchas hamitzvah? And we wouldn't follow the Arzarua, and still somehow kvetch out and say, if you goofed and made a mistake, you could still make the bracha afterwards. Could one walk that time? The Rambam doesn't say, the Rambam state the famous for those issues, you don't make the bracha. Could one create shtibul Torah to say, and maybe make the bracha afterwards? If it's what?
If you say that it's maybe it's the mishach, it's because it's not getting married.
Oh, if you hold that the mitzvah of marriage is ki yikach, is to remain in the state of marriage, means to be married is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not for that one split second under the chuppah. The mitzvah is an ongoing mitzvah, so then maybe one could argue such a thing, maybe one could suggest that that's also considered by the mitzvah of the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say that, but maybe one could argue such a thing. Anyway, getting back to that story, this is all the Shirayim from last night. So back to that story, so we're trying to pinpoint the moment in the Torah when you said the bracha on tefillin. I think it was a very, very strange phrase. The first time I'm going to say, Rabbi Yom Javai, Mishas Hanocha, Yad Shas Kshira. From the moment that you place the tefillin, say, on your arm, until the tying takes place, that's the Shas HaBracha. So the Shas Kshira is a very strange phrase. Because if you had to translate the word kshira, how would you translate it to mean? In a million years, I would never have translated it to mean. If you look up in Halakhapedia, the definition of the word By the way, when I mentioned yesterday about encyclopedias, who here knew what an encyclopedia was? Whoever ever saw an encyclopedia? Whoever looked up something in the encyclopedia? So the hands are going down. Everyone over the age of 16 climbed up. So I saw, when I said that, I saw a smile on one or two of the people over the age of 40 in the room. Okay, Rabbi said, there's no question in my mind what the word kshira means, to tie, to make a knot. And therefore, Rabbi Eliyahu, one of the Hilim Baliadaisis, anyone know what Tzidik is? Did you finish the trivia? Good points?
Yes.
True.
Give them Paris. Rabbi Eliyahu Paris. Rabbi Eliyahu. Rabbi Eliyahu. Rabbi Eliyahu. So therefore, we take the Gemara Kipshutai, and for that matter, says Rabbi Eliyahu, how about we take the Chumash Kipshutai? And the Torah says, "Ksharet Eliyosei Yodah." The mitzvah of tefillin is to be kaishin and tefillin on your own. And therefore, every single morning, you have to be kaishin and tefillin on your own, which means you have to make a kasher every single morning, which means you have to undo the kasher from yesterday, which means you have to come to shachris 15 minutes earlier, because you have to tie the kasher shliyah. Yeah, that little yid over there. And then Rabbi Eliyahu goes one step further and says something which it doesn't say in the Chumash. Rabbi Eliyahu extrapolates and says the din of Ukshartam is not only referring to the Shel Yad, but it's referring to the Shel Rosh as well. How do we know that there's a din of Kshira on the Shel Rosh also? Doesn't say Ukshartam in the Torah. Well, what do we know? We know there's a Lach HaMashini, there's a Cheftza for the Kesha Shel Rosh. And therefore, Rabbi Eliyahu put two and two together and said, well, there's a mitzvah, ma'isah ha'avrum, shantam, on the shalyah. And there's a din that the cheftz of the shalrosh has to have a kesher. You put all these pieces of the puzzle together and you see the din of shantam is really going on both. And therefore, there's a mitzvah, kshira, both, and l'chora, now you got to come to shul a half hour earlier. You need 15 minutes of shalyah for the shalrosh. That was Rabbi Eliyahu's, I can't even say Kiddush. Rabbi Eliyahu read Pasuk Chumash. Rabbi Eliyahu read the Gemara and said, yeah, that's the din. That's the halacha. Yeah, it's the Menachos. Yeah, that's the Menachos. That's the
Menachos. This is a general question. You mentioned earlier in Shira, you're talking about Parshish with Shalom. What did
Rabbi Tam was the Bar Plukta. So comes Rabbi Tam, comes the Baliyat Taisus, and defend themselves from Rabbi Eliyahu's times. So first of all, says Rabbi Tam, you mistranslated what the word Likshor means. Likshor doesn't mean to form a knot. Likshor simply means to tighten a pre-existing bias of the knot. So how do you do that? Very simple. It's called Mitzvah. How long is it taking to get the shachris for that one? About 3 seconds. And what about the Tzul Shel Rosh? Where's the ukshart of the Tzul Shel Rosh? So I could say one of two things. Either I could say maybe
when you squeeze it on your head.
Maybe there is none. Maybe ukshart is only referring to the Shel Yad. And maybe you can argue that the halacha Moshe Mesina is you need a chetza Shel Rosh, a chetza Shel Kesher. But this statement is the thing about the tie, the kesher shel rosh. So I'm not so sure, according to Rabbi Tam, that there is a din of kshar de mechlal on the shel rosh. Or even if you want to kvetch it out and you want to say, no, Rabbi Tam agrees to Rabbi Eliyahu, that linked in the halacha moshe mesina of kesher shel rosh is there's a maisik shira on the shel rosh, no problem. The same way that Rabbi Tam redefined, retranslated shira to mean tightening over here, there's a way to tighten over here also. How is that? you know, that kind of maneuvering around, that's the kshira, that's the kshira. So again, it's according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, I have two chidushim. Rabbeinu Eliyahu understood there's a maisa hagavra from kshira, beinu shayah, beinu shorosh. And the word kshira, let's try to cut the side conversations a little bit. Okay? The maisa kshira, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, made mamish a maisa kshira. Literally like the Boy Scouts. According to Rabbeinu Tam, even in the Shayad, Rabbeinu Tam is made as a Maisik Shira, it's a possible Chumash. Shira means Hiduk. On the Shorosh, I'm not even sure there's a bit of Maisik Shira altogether. Even if the Slav there is, the Hiduk is also good enough. So that was the Machlekes to Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Yod. And then comes Tyson and turns the tables on Rabbeinu Eliyahu, because Rabbeinu Eliyahu said that Rabbeinu Eliyahu said that from the Lashon HaGemara, it would appear that there's a real bit of kshira, because the Gemara uses the word kshira, which of course Rabbeinu Tam would turn around and say, so what, the Gemara uses the word kshira? The same way, what else uses the word kshira? The Torah. The Gemara is no worse than the Torah. It means if in the Chumash, kshira doesn't really mean kshira, it means hiduk, so the Gemara also means hiduk. But Tosfos turns the tables around Rabbeinu Eliyahu and says, no, for sure, the Gemara is actually mashma against Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Why? Because b'shas hanocha v'shas kshira, what comes first? What does hanocha mean? Hanocha means putting it on, and then what?
You should tie it.
It is be extremely difficult to tie a knot with your one hand. Not so simple, okay? Acrobatics. So the chora, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, what comes first? The kshira precedes the hanocha. So then why does the Gemara say, b'shas kshira b'shas hanocha? So what does Rabbeinu Eliyahu say?
The order doesn't matter.
No, what does Rabbeinu Eliyahu say? He says, yeah, it does say that. He says, yeish svarim shekosef ke. He says, the tacha are svarim. There are some manuscripts in the Gemara. Talia Tais is sitting around in France, and they're reading through the scrolls, and find, hey, wait a second. One scroll says, b'shas kshira b'shas hanocha. Another scroll says, b'shas hanocha b'shas kshira. So comes the Balei Tais and say, ooh, the girsa in that girsa of the Gemara that says Mishas Shir V'Yashas Arocha, that's Mamash Rabbeinu Eliyahu. But the other girsa that we have, Mishas Hanocha V'Yashas Shir, that's much closer in sync to Rabbeinu Tam's view. So at the end of the day, from the Gemara itself, it's not crystal clear one way or the other. From the Chumash could go either way, the Gemara could go either way. It's not clear what the din should be. But one thing seems pretty clear, that the Bahamas of the Tavan and Leo is across the board, Ben Shayad, Ben Shorosh. And then Tosis comes along about it. Tosis later and say, you know what? Let's make a pshar, let's make a compromise here. Not just because they want everybody to be happy, but they really believe that there was room for compromise. What was the room for compromise of the Balei Tosis? Umistav, Kedir Rabbeinu Tam, Tzul Shorosh, Kedir Rabbeinu Leo, Tzul Shayad. Come, Baliatesis is the third possibility now. The anonymous Baliatesis, the Tamid of Rabbeinu Tam from Eliyahu says, we have a third possibility. That when it comes to Tzul Shayad, Rabbeinu Eliyahu's property right. You know why? That's the Chumash. When it comes to Tzul Shorosh, Rabbeinu Tam is probably right. Not because Hiduk means Kshira. Tam says, that's true. Everybody knows what the definition of kshira means. The reason why Rabbeinu Tam is right by default by Tzul Shorosh is because Tzul Shorosh don't what?
Doesn't say kshira.
There is no din of kshira. I is a din of kasher. So what did the Balei Tosfos say? There's a din of kasher. That's a din in the who? In the what? In the chefza. There's a chefza for kasher, but it doesn't mean you have to be the one to be kasher. And therefore, when all the dust settles, there are three possibilities in Rishayim as to how the mitzvah is supposed to play out. According to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, both Shayad and Shorosh, gotta tie everything. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it never heard of any of this. According to the third possibility about that is the split between Shayad and Shorosh. I've committed where they gotta come half hour before davening, 15 minutes before davening, 2 seconds before davening. Or 15 minutes after davening. That was this morning's sin. Don't you still have to daven yet this morning's sin? Okay. But now the lomus begins. But now the real lomus begins. Lomas begins with a bit of Tam's Raya. You know, from the Gemara itself, we couldn't figure out one way or the other. From the Pesukim itself, couldn't figure out which way. Who's right? Comes a bit of Tam, Kedarka, Makoydesh, a bit of Tam, and Kola Tarakula, Hachas Yazan. He's looking at Sugim Menochas, and his eyes, way far away, his eyes are in a Sugim, a sense of Erevim. And comes Rabbi Nadam and says, "Rabbi Uriah Bura, a Masugim Masechus Erevin." I'm right. You are tucked away in Masechus Erevin. Is talking about if a person is walking in the street on Shabbos, and they happen to find Nebuch a pair of tefillin lying on the ground. What do you do, Gavald? What do you do? So let's assume worst case scenario. There's no Erev here. So you can't just pick up the tefillin and carry them. On the other hand, I'll be zoyed to leave the tefillin on the ground. Someone's going to steal them. They're going to go through with the garbage. What do you do? So it's a big, big challenge. So there's an entire parak in Shas, at least the first three, four blocks, dedicated to that challenge. What's the name of the parak called? Motzi Tefillin. What a good name for a parak. Motzi Tefillin. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara opens up the possibility that what if you find a pair of tefillin on the ground, but they're not even as a pair of tefillin yet. They just bought them in ritual separate. So that's going to be an even bigger pickle, because if the tefillin are already made as tefillin, the possibility exists of doing what? Of actually putting them on and wearing them. Maybe that doesn't constitute carrying on Shabbos. And again, you got to learn the first two blocks of Motzi Tefillin to figure out is that true or is that not true. Is that called carrying? Not called tefillin carrying. Are you allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos? Not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. It's called baltoi tzavla. Wow, that's a loaded sugya. But the Gemara complicates matters by saying, what if the tefillin are found not even connected? So then the only way to possibly get them on is to do what? Is to tie them. Do you know what the Gemara says in that context? Forget it. The Gemara says, out of the question. In no shape or form can you tie a kesher of tefillin on chest. Is it the arise of gomer, one of the lamed tzavlos, kesher? Tie nasas. Is it gomer in a fire on Shabbos, kesher? And therefore, that's not even an option. Says Taisus, you can dream in your wildest dreams, the Gemara Erevin says, to tie tefillin on Shabbos. Since we've been in time, let's analyze that assumption. Is that true? Gemara tells us that Shabbos, that not every knot that you tie is an issur d'oraisa. In order to be an issur d'oraisa, several conditions possibly, or at least one condition must be met. What is the one cloud gadol you see, just that has to be met in order for kesha to be a deraisa? That's what's called a kesha shal kayama. Now, that is a very, very loaded phrase. What does that mean? How do you define, how do you measure, what parameter do you use to measure kayama? Anyone idea? Any ideas? You threw out a number. Any number you see is probably going to be right, according to somebody.
24
hours. 24 hours, why not? Okay, any more? Give me a week, also good. Give me another one. Forever, give me another one. A month, also good. Anything you said appears in some shape or form. Okay? It is extremely unclear what the phrase kayama actually means, lamaisa. But one thing is very, very, very clear. Something that is done and undone, done, undone on a daily basis. There's no way in the world that's going to qualify as a what? As kesher. That's not even in the ballpark. Now, I didn't even throw a curveball at you yet, which is the Shita Sarambam, who's on the Mount of Kodesh. But the Rambam says, by the way, kesher shakam is not enough to decide the Atariya. It's got to be more than that. What is that?
Oh,
the Rambam says, in order to be awesome in Atariya, it has to be kesher shakam plus Maisa Umun. Anyone want to define for you what a Maisa Umun means? Professional woman sounds like a pro, right? Sounds like a sailor, like a camel driver. Oh, guys are real, you know, who know how to tie knots. Not your typical, you know, yeshivish, half-baked Boy Scout or something. Come on, I'm a real, I'm a professional guy. So the Rambam throws that at us, and again, we have to hopefully we'll come back a little bit later on in the studio. But whether or not you accept that Rashi, I was taught to accept that Rambam, whether or not you accept that Rambam, everyone agrees, the Gemara uses the phrase kesher chayom, and again, something that's totally undone every couple of hours, that's shayach to call that a kesher chayom. So come to Rabbeinu Tam and turns the table to Rabbeinu Yo. He says, Rabbeinu Yo, you're being mitayik, and said, Chumash, you're mitayik, and you're absolutely 1,000% contradicted by the Gemara says. is according to you, that tefillin are tied every single day. 24 hours don't even go by without tying and untying your tefillin. Tefillin are the ultimate kasher sheh. Sheh, what was the word? And if tefillin are the ultimate kasher sheh, why does the Gemara say it's also better to tie them in the Erevin? That was a bit of time's cash. Since it's been a time, just look at the clock. When was the last time you tied? Everyone ties tefillin. Every few hours you're tying tefillin. Says Rabbi Natan, it's an Enosh HaKoyam according to you, and that's contradicted by the Rabbi Natan. I can't remember Rabbi Natan.
Wouldn't it be according to Rabbi Natan that the way you're doing it on your top is contradicted
by the other way? No, I want to know about the Gemara in Erevin's talking about I find the bias in Ritzuas, separate from one another. The only way for me to wear those tefillin is to put them on and stop tying them out. So Rabbi Natan says, great, according to Rabbi Natan, what's wrong with that? Wait, this is the Rabbani you're worried about? See, the Rabbani, that's a word. What would Rabbi Eliyahu's response be to Rabbi Eliyahu? Rabbi Eliyahu also had called to Akum in front of him. He also knew the Gemara name of him. So what's Pshat?
I just have a question.
Why couldn't you move them from that case to this case?
Not a
problem. When you find them
together, and
you're shy,
you're going to be
okay.
How am I going to
wear them?
The first case you have them together, so you should have the problem. If
you
won't
say that. No one would say that tightening or not is called a kesher. That's not a kesher of ice and a shot.
Oh, you won't say that.
According to a bit, if you find a film that they're like a pre film on the floor, like our film connected, back over to us, what's the big deal? Just put them on, tighten them on, and put them on and walk away with them. So the Gemara discusses, is that a problem of carrying and Shabbos? That's not a problem of kosher.
But in that case with the tefillin, though, if they're not connected, wouldn't this be the first, if it's the first time they're being tied, how is that not, how is that not Hayam?
But it's only going to last for 24 hours till Sunday morning.
Because then they wouldn't be tied, okay.
But if the
Malvah
is Hayam, then why is it not Nadi in the first place? Why are you finding the tefillin that is on Nadi? Why did they take out?
Why did they not? Could be they were never put together in the first place. Could be the cipher dropped his tefillin on the way to work. I don't know. Gosh, the nice of what they're doing there on the floor. I don't know. I don't know why they're there. The Gemara doesn't address them and see why they're there.
Maybe the Israel Shabbos is making the knot on Shabbos.
Wait. Okay. Hold on. Okay. We're going to try. It's starting the ball rolling. So what can we possibly defend within of you? So comes the Mordechai, the third of the Marmachonis. We mentioned the Mordechai asked in Kinnas. Those were with us at the Kinnas. We mentioned the Mordechai was one of the Tamidim of Hakim of the Maram in Rittenberg. Tragically, the Mordechai himself was killed on Kiddush Hashem. One of the Kedoshim. Kedosh Elyon was killed on Kiddush Hashem. So the Mordechai ben Gil Ashkenaz, that was his full name. So the Mordechai in the third of the Marmachonis deflects Rabbi Natan's raya. Miunira lead the raya, Rabbi Natan in a raya. The Afakav the love kesher, who also the kosher of Shabbos. Drachmana kariye kesher. Three words. No, who's got pshat? Three words in the Mordechai. Drachmana kariye kesher.
Still kesher. So it's still usher.
What does it mean? It's still a kesher.
It's not a kesher shel kayama on normal terms, but the Torah calls it a kshartem.
Oh, does it? I mean, it's based on the regular standards of kesher. We have a certain, certain book we look up to say definition. Is this called the kesher shel kayama or not? So we open up our book, and who wrote our book? Tell us what kesher. Rabbi Ribi Yatzel B'Shabbat, right? What's called kesher kayama? So if it's there for 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, a year, whatever definition of kesher. But if it's tied and untied every single day, sorry, does not meet the criteria of being a kesher kayama. According to the normal standard objective criteria of kesher kayama, this doesn't meet the mark. Everybody say. But, Kup the Mordechai says three magic words. What are three magic words? How can you tell me a whole line is it's not kesher, because it's less than 20 grams. That's cute. But the Torah says it's a kasher. The Torah calls it a kasher. So it's less than 24 hours. Nachbar, it doesn't go there, Isa. You can't You can't argue with your Ben Shalom. If your Ben Shalom state of Shaitan Lesedef and Hindi Teva, of Shaitan Lesedef, and thus is called the Kesher, even though a Maisa it's less than 24 hours, the Chiagav, the Chimur, the Chayv Skila for such a Kesher. That was the Mordechai's deflection of Rabbeinu Tam's Rav. You have to think about that like you. That's like you. Sit over this a little bit. Think for a minute what the Mordechai just said. Who here likes what the Mordechai just said to defend Rabbi Eliyahu? Who here has any idea why Rabbi Tam thought that was an incorrect deflecting of his raya? Who wants to explain to you the Kudus HaMachoikos to Rabbi Tam and Rabbi Eliyahu now? All hands are still up. Anyone's hands are up? No one's hands are up yet.
Since Rabbi Tam says it's kind of really tightening, then it's why never really called it in that. It's just tightening a pre-existing knot.
No, but that's circular reasoning, right? I'm trying to disprove a bit of yo because I'm right. Because I'm right, so therefore you're wrong. That's like logic 101.
By Shabbos, the standards of the knot are different than
Shabbos. Wait, oh, okay, well, we're starting to ball roll a little bit. But I say, it's time for Chakira. We haven't had 35 minutes for enough Chakira yet. Time for Chakira. What's the Chakira Gemara Bachra? What din? What din do we have to understand? Do we have to clarify? Everything's revolving around this din of Kesher Shokhi Yom. Shtei B'nei Mishnah, Shtei B'nei Sugin Shab, Shtei B'nei Shorim, Kesher Shokhi Yom is required in a Torah. Nung Yish Lachbor. What's the nature of this din that you require Kesher Shokhi Yom? Where did it come from? Where did this halacha come from? Kesher Shokhi Yom. Chazal, just throw it out. 157 blot of Masechta Shabbos, and the Gemara never explained anywhere. My time, I'm not in Yiddi. This state that you need a Kesher Kiyama. No, what did Kutz Dadu?
That was the Kesher of the Mishkan.
Oh, so one could, you know, Hilchos Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos is a great Masechta, I'll tell you why. Because whenever you don't understand anything, you can always fall back on what?
Mishkan.
Don't do Mishkan. When we looked at Masechta Shabbos in Yeshiva a couple of years ago, so the Bachram remember. I must have said it maybe 1,000 times, that Chazal always used Mishkan as the model. So you have to be very, very careful when you use a model in Halacha. You have to always make sure to only extrapolate the significant characteristics of that model. Otherwise, you end up in the world of absurdity. Lamosha. Mishkan. Melech HaShabbos. It's only the Reis, but it's like the Mishkan. So therefore, this Isser Chol Shabbos, the Reis only applies when it's over 95 degrees outside. It's like the Mishkan, the Midbar. But when it's chilly outside, the winter time, there's no. Chol Shabbos, the Reis only applies if your name starts with a bay, like Bezalel. But if your name is Gedalia, but they give one, there's no Chol Shabbos. A good cool, right? I have a couple of good cools on my sleeve. So, obviously, those are more my thing for Purim than any other day of the year. Clearly, whether your name is Bezalel or Gedalia, or whether it's hot or cold, is irrelevant to Chol Shabbos. So there are certain akudas that are relevant. Let's say the marshal, the Gemara says, "We're not talking about carrying Shabbos, but the place that you're not allowed to carry in has to be an area that resembles the Mishkan. Has to resemble the Midbar or the Mishkan. So what model, the area that surrounds the Mishkan was Rosh Hashanah? What was important? What important characteristics make up Rosh Hashanah? Size is pretty important. So if it's less than 16 amos wide." So that's the Rabbim can't really travel in it so clearly. So if you have an area that's less than 16 amos wide street, that cannot possibly be Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. Then the Gemara has another factor. It can't have a ceiling to it. There's a roof to it. That's more of an indoor kind of a structure. That's not really such an outdoor kind of a structure. And that's not really Rosh Hashanah either. Those are the two clauses the Gemara says. Then you shouldn't have a huge bachlekes. Who knows the big bachlekes? How many people? Does people make a difference? Some Rosh Hashanah say, yeah. It's got to meet the model, the criteria of the Mishkan, 600,000 people. And other Shem say, I've never heard of that one. That doesn't say in the Gemara. So sometimes there are certain things that are obvious models of Mishkan. Certain things are obviously not models of Mishkan. Certain things are up for grabs, up for machlokes. So here, when it comes to the Malachas of Kaisha, what do we want to test Malachas? It's Kaisha. That's the Gemara. It's like Shabbos, Mishkan, Shabbos, Mon Shabbos. They were Kaisha as part of the Malachas of Mishkan. Could one argue that the acts of Kshira that were done, which is not even 100% clear, the Gemara has a whole book to figure out, what were those acts of Kshira exactly? Those acts of Kshira were permanent, and therefore we derive from Mishkan part of the model of the Shabbos of Mishkan, you want to really razzle dazzle her up a little bit, you'll say another two words, make them sound like a real Lamdan. Well, Melech HaMashabbos, why not? When you have no, when you don't know anything else in Shabbos, I'll just call Melech HaMashabbos, it's also good. So basically what you're saying is that the din of Kesher Shokayama is a din prati in Uchaz Mishkan. Also famous Chakiris. The din prati, it's a localized din from Shabbos, from Mishkan Melech HaMashabbos. That's the nature of the din of Kayama. And then you have to figure out what the shiur is. So you have the Gemara doesn't tell us that. The problem is that we shine them after the scramble to try to figure out is the shiur a week, a month, a day, a year, forever. It's hard to know exactly what the number is, the magic number is. But the whole model of the Kayama is Mishkan oriented. Or is there another way of understanding what the din of Kayama meant?
You say that it's just a sword. If you didn't make a knot that wasn't in a permanent way, then that's not a knot.
Well,
I can throw two strings on top of each other.
Oh, Gevaldik! Means this din of Kesher Kayama is not doing Shabbos. The din of Kesher Kayama is part of the definition of the word knot. The word Kesher, you said it so beautifully. The word Kesher means not just two strings that are next to and touching one another. It's two strings that are tied together. It's a Kesher Kayama. It's permanent. That is part and parcel of the dictionary definition of Kesher. Now, in Hukah Shabbos, it probably doesn't make much of a difference. Whether you go down the root of Shabbos, go down the root of a din crawling on a din cross. At the end of the day, the din is Minat Torah, the din is in Kesher Kayama. But on both sides, now the world is about to change very, very quickly. This Chakira is going to become critical for us.
Does it make a difference to see that the Melacha is making a Kesher that should be Kayama? That if you don't undo it every day, it would have been Kayama.
Okay, you're already three steps ahead of us. You're ready to get this. So what's happening? Rabbi Isaac, let's think for a second. Two tzedakah of Chakira, two sides of the Shana. Comes the Mordechai Vidas, Rabbi Eliyahu, and says, Azoy, I have a certain knot in front of me. And according to my regular standard, this is not Kayama. I admit it to the Yahweh. I'm the one who said the Sheba. It's my sheet that you have to tie on my spoon every day. So I know it's not Kayama according to the regular standards. Well, the textbook definition of Kayama does not meet the mark. But what do you want from me? Says Rabbi Eliyahu. I defer to who? To the Rebbeinu Shlomo. State in Chumash, state in Torah Kedeshim, Shartam, thus is a Kesher. So no, I have a Kesher in the Torah, and my dictionary doesn't say Kesher. But your dictionary is wrong. I mean, a dictionary is right for other Kesher, except for this one. The Torah trumps your dictionary. That's what Rabbi Eliyahu said. If the Torah calls it a Kesher, Zevin for noise, see, from here it's called a Kesher, and therefore give me Chayav on it. It's not 24 hours, but Chayav, the Torah trumps your definition. Rabbi Natan would respond that argument is completely irrelevant. Why is it irrelevant?
It's only important that it calls the Kesher by Shabbos.
According to Rabbi Natan, the Ptur of Kesher, Kesher Kayama, is a Shabbos to do. It's just Nishkin Lach Shabbos, it's Nishkin to be the Mishkan, it's a Din Prati Benuch Shabbos. What kind of riot are you bringing? The fact that it's called the Kesher in other areas of Halacha, the Maskim Zayin. I agree that it's called the Kesher. What does that mean? According to Rabbi Natan, the point of Kesher Shabbos is the din prat, the localized din of Shabbos. What in the world is the riot from the Torah's definition of Shabbat by Kesher? It's called the Kesher Tzvon. Therefore, it's called the Kesher Shabbos. What does that mean? It's called the Kesher Tzvon. According to the dictionary, it's called the Kesher all the time. But the Ptur in Shabbos is Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore, if at the end of the day the Gemara says your potter, your chayiv in Shabbos, it's a raya bur. Rabbi Eliyahu cannot be right. If Rabbi Eliyahu is right, you should be potter in Shabbos. I is called a kesher. My chabad is called a kesher. I'm talking Shabbos. I'm learning Masechta Shabbos. You're learning Masechta Penachos. So the charei the nekudas of machloikas to Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Eliyahu is not machloikas Hilchos Tefillin. That's not where the Machlekes lies. The Machlekes lies in Masechta Shabbos and Mishnah Shabbos. What the nature of the din is of Kesher Kayama. Is it a Shabbos din? or is it a kol tarkul dikadin? If it's a kol tarkul dikadin, that can it can extrapolate it. If it's rachmana kaya kesher, then it's kaya kesher b'shabbos also. If it's a din protein of b'shabbos, then the Mordechai is deflection of rachmana kaya kesher is totally completely meaningless and irrelevant. But I say, this machlekes belongs to Rabbi Tam Rilio, but I don't understand the din of Kesher Shachayama, is about to resurface in another area of halacha, as we spoke about this morning in Drush, an area of halacha very much related to the tefillin, and that's the chassidus. So you're probably wondering why I threw the letter, you reached the point of not wondering anymore why we throw irrelevant non-recurrents on. Because they're never really irrelevant. I mean, sometimes there are mistakes in the non-recurrents, but this one happens to be right. A sugya, fifth of Ramakrim, sugya Masechet Shabbos. But before we get to sugya Masechet Shabbos, we need a little bit of a background about an intricacy, a detailed shaila about Kesher Kayoma on Shabbos. What do you think of the difference of a sailor and I'm making a really geschmack in that? My umas would be meets the Ramos criteria. It's a kind of a knot, it's going to last mamish for that B.S. Goyle and then some. I'm getting my boats ready, the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, I'm getting my boats ready to go sail, to go find, I'm not sure what I'm going to find, but whatever I ended up finding, but I didn't think I was finding. I thought, in the other year, since I mentioned I can't hold back. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but usually Tishma does go by without me telling a little part of the story at least. And I was 2 years ago, I had to go back to America for Shabbos Nachama. Tishma was on a Thursday. And so the way it was arranged was that on Tishma, there was an NTSY group that was in Germany for Tishma. So between here and America was Germany. So I went to go spend Tishbuk in Germany. Like 1 year I went to spend Tishbuk in Germany with a group of NCS wires. And the only flight I was able to get out of Eretz Yisrael to get to Munich drive to Tishbuk, but there was no direct flight. I had to stop in Spain, and switch planes in Spain. So I flew from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael in the morning to Barcelona. Then from Barcelona, a little bit of an hour or so later, I flew from there to Munich. So I remember as the plane was landing in Barcelona, and flying over the water, so I was on the water. So the plane was landing in Barcelona, I was looking over the water, coast of Spain, and I started like to shake because Columbus set sail from Barcelona. On when? When did he really set sail? What? He really set sail the day after Tisha B'Av. He said, why did he set sail the day after Tisha B'Av? He writes in his diary. What? Because he couldn't get, there was too much traffic in the port. Because all the Jews were being thrown out. That was the last day, that was the final day. And whatever boats had not yet left, so would be all the Jews, the ones who waited, mamash, for the last second. So they were leaving, so Columbus's expedition got delayed for a day. So I'm landing in an Erev Tisha B'Av, looking over Barcelona, the same place where Columbus was waiting to pull out his boats. There was also a little boy who was in one of those boats, not in Columbus's boats. You know what his name was? He was 4 years old. His name was, then he wasn't Rav Yosef guy, then he was just a little Yosef guy over there. He was born in 1488. Muhammad Shaharach was 4 years old when his parents were kicked out of Spain. And Mustafa was also in one of those, in that port, because he was sitting there that very, very day as well. They have overlapped with Columbus, we don't know for sure. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm mamish like reliving Jewish history, that I just left Eretz Yisrael this morning, and I'm landing in Spain. Spain was Sfarad, one of the major Jewish areas in the Middle Ages. And then from Spain, where am I going next?
Germany.
Germany, Ashkenaz. Mamishal lifts 5 goals and Ashkenazi goals in 1 day. And then, soon afterwards, the following day, so where are we going?
America.
America. So Chaim Voloshin said that America is the last stop to Torah and Golos. Chaim Volozhin said this back in early interviews. So that's the final destination for Torah and Golos is America. From there, it's over. From there, it's back there to Israel. And then right after Shabbos, I flew back there to Israel. So Mamish felt like the chills, the goosebumps. And Mamish made the entire group of Jewish history in 3 days. But anyway, as a side, I mentioned the three votes of Columbus. I couldn't hold back. Remind me later, I'll tell you the rest of that story another time. Lo Yuman Kisubar, some of the stories that happened in those couple of days there, but nothing. Anyway, so I get my boat, I'm sitting there and I'm tied by knots, and my inspector of my boats comes by and says, Gvaldana, Sobolovsky, you're a real born sailor. You, this is great, this is Gvaldana. This is the strongest knot possible. This is going to last for 120 years, these knots. But I had in mind, when I tied these knots, I'm going to do what? I'm going to untie them as soon as the inspector leaves. An hour from now. Sabotaging the boats. I'm going to untie them in an hour from now. Chayav and Shabbos or Potter and Shabbos?
Potter.
Who votes Potter? Why do you vote Potter? Because it's what?
It's temporary knot.
Temporary knot. I'm just going to take it out in an hour.
In no self pressure.
Who votes Chayav? Why? So Rabbi Sai, what are you really arguing? Give me the words. Give me the brisket. Come on. You're kaya for this one. What defines whether something is kayom or initial kayom? Did kayom and initial kayom defined by the gavra hakosher? Or is kayom and initial kayom defined by the chavtza hanikshar? Of course it's going to be better than that. We have to figure out how it's going to get there. Hold on. Hang on. So there's a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos that makes shed some light on this topic. The Gemara quotes a very, very famous machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva about machshire mila on Shabbos. What's made machshire mila on Shabbos? Everyone knows mila is Masechta Shabbos, right? B'yom Hashmini, Yom from Shabbos, Yom mila is Masechta Shabbos. When we say that mila is Masechta Shabbos, does that mean only the mila itself, the actual cutting of the oil, or does that mean what? All the preparations beforehand. So Rabbi Eliezer has a Gevaldike sheet that says, Rabbi Eliezer says, not only the meal of the Shabbos, you can make the knife on Shabbos, you can carry the knife, the mug can drive, the mug can fly. Whatever you need to do to get that meal going, it's all included in the Hatter of the Chil Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says,
you got to prepare beforehand.
Everything that can be done before must be done before. And if you didn't do it before, it's not Dech Shabbos. It's a Dimin Atar. According to Rabbi Akiva, if you get in your car to drive to the Dresh, you're Bechal Shabbos Deraisa. Once you're Eliezer, you're performing a Mitzvah Deraisa. So we have the Baskin like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara goes one step further. The Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that Machshir and Yidla Dech Shabbos, was not only true by Machshir and Yidla. Anyone know where else it was true? Machshir and Korban Pesach, that's a Mishnah. And then the Gemara extends it and says, other mitzvahs also. Whenever you have a mitzvah that's mana to be done on Shabbos, the Machshir and Mitzvah Dech Shabbos. Anyone fill in the gaps? A guy forgot to bake his matzahs Erev Pesach. When he first thought of Seder, the Seder night is on Friday night. What do you do according to Rabbi Eliezer? No problem, bake it on Shabbos. You woke up and you forgot to build your sukkah. What do you do?
Bake your sukkah.
What would be a big sukkah? Everything's buried there. Except for what? The buck stops here. What can you not do?
Mezuzah and tzitzis.
Mezuzah and tzitzis, the Gemara says. If you forgot to tie your tzitzis and you wake up Shabbos, what do I do? I bought a new bed, I forgot to connect them. Sorry, Charlie, you can't tie your tzitzis and Shabbos. You wake up Shabbos, fine, golly, I forgot to put up a mezuzah, no problem. Write the parshas of mezuzah, it's a minute to put them up. No way. Since the mezuzah exception rules, why is that? It's a whole sugya of Shabbos. It's clear as day from the Gemara that you're not allowed to tie tzitzis on Shabbos. Why not? What malach is involved in tying tzitzis on Shabbos? Presumably. I can't think of any other malach yet. The stomach's kosher. So the Gemara says, tying tzitzis on Shabbos is also alt kosher. So I want you to think a little bit about that. Think a little bit about our guy who's tying a knot on the boat and about to untie it in an hour.
Why can't you
say, I'll tie it later? Think about it a little bit. I didn't say the answer, so I'll open the bedroom tomorrow. We'll try to discuss this. Continue this.